You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 8th, 2022, Ukrainian President Zelensky in a speech to the United Kingdom Parliament said, "We will not give up, we will not lose." And he called on the United Kingdom to recognize Russia as a terrorist state, ramp up more sanctions against Moscow. He got a standing ovation from the British lawmakers. Meanwhile, on this side of the pond, President Joe Biden announcing his decision, we're going to ban oil imports from Russia. Just days ago, his administration was arguing against the idea. Then Nancy Pelosi was asked about it, said, yeah, I think we should ban it. Another Democrat said, hell yes, we should ban it. Many Republicans say we need to ban it, but Biden, no, we're not going to do that. And in recent days, many oil companies had already announced plans they were going to eliminate oil from their portfolios. Shell Oil Company announced its decision to stop purchasing crude oil just after purchasing some Russian crude days earlier. But Biden says, no, we're all gonna do this. It's gonna help Ukrainians. We're gonna defend freedom, but it's gonna cost us here. It's gonna be higher gas prices. So he's flying down to Fort Worth, Texas to see firsthand how the gas prices are doing. What a piece of nonsense. A lot of these trips are photo ops anyway, but this is one of the ones that's just laughable. To make it one bigger laugh is if he finds a place down in Fort Worth that has great ice cream, Bluebell ice cream. Oh, that's great in Texas. He should get some of that. And while he's standing there looking at the gas price ticket, tick, tick, tick up and up and up. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, said, yeah, we should ban oil, Russian oil, but canceling the Keystone Pipeline, not allowing drilling on federal lands, those things also need to be restarted. He said, but the left does not want to go there. He said, even if Joe Biden wanted to do it, his party won't let him. This is Congressman Jim Jordan saying, a few months ago, I said in a hearing where a Democrat member from California, the state that now has $7 a gallon gas, and he had the oil and gas execs there in front of him, and he badgered every one of them asking one simple question: will you pledge to decrease production this year? And he said, that's your problem, and that's correct. You know, we've had numerous companies already pull out of Russia. And some of them, by the way, are the same ones that stayed in China and are still there supporting that totalitarian dictatorship, which is carrying out genocide against Uyghur Muslims. But we've had major credit card companies say they were shutting down their operations, which is okay and understandable. But keep in mind, there are people that were using those credit cards in Russia that maybe that's how they were trying to get money back out of the banks if they couldn't get them any other way, or pay for things if they don't have it. The ruble at last check, reportedly, according to Biden today, is less than one penny. And McDonald's now announcing, we have 62,000 employed in Russia, but we're shutting down, but we will continue to pay our Russian employees. We'll see. Congressman Mel Brooks, Republican of Alabama, leading a House Republican to end federal mask mandates on public transportation, including U.S. domestic commercial flights. Good. And a vast majority of likely voters, including a majority of Democrats, agree it is reasonable to require that you show a photo ID in order to vote. That's a Rasmussen poll. And the Biden administration making it clear the U.S. will not fight in Ukraine, but will continue to give arms. Well, here comes Congresswoman Omar, Democrat in Minnesota, and she said the consequences of flooding Ukraine with billions of dollars in American weapons, they might be given or end up in the hands of paramilitary groups without any accountability. That could be unpredictable, likely dangerous. If they end up in the hands of Palestinian terrorists, others who want to kill Jews and Americans, would that bother you? Or is it just afraid that they might be used against Muslims? I'm just asking.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our teams are actively discussing how to make this happen, and today we remain united. We remain united in our purpose to keep pressure mounting on Putin and his war machine. This is a step that we're taking to inflict further pain on Putin. But there will be cost as well here in the United States. I said I would level with the American people from the beginning. And when I first spoke to this, I said defending freedom is going to cost. It's going to cost us as well in the United States.
That was Joe Biden, President Biden today, announcing we are going to ban any imports of oil and any kind of gas from Russia coming to the U.S. of A. Just 2 days ago, his administration says, well, I don't think we need to do that. And then maybe we might, but we're going to need everybody on board for it to work. No, we don't. We don't. First of all, become a leader and say we're shutting down any more oil or gas coming to the U.S. from Russia. The other countries would follow, and many of them are now. But he said, well, we wanted to have everybody together. You already had bipartisan support from the U.S. to shut it down. This is not a leader, and it's not even a good follower. You give them a map to an ice cream factory, they'll probably get lost. But here's the deal. When Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, actually over the weekend on a news program, yes, we should ban any oil resources from Russia. The Biden administration is still sitting around, oh, I don't know, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know. Well, Nancy said this. Oh, well, maybe we should. And other Democrats are now saying, oh, well, okay. Oh, but don't forget, there are other Democrats are saying, protect our climate and our energy. And others are saying, look, if we do this, it's going to put more pressure upon European nations to either follow us or help support Russia. That's kind of the idea. And after he did that, to show how serious he is about U.S. oil and gas and you suffering at the pump, Biden headed off to Fort Worth, Texas. They're calling it the hub of oil in Texas. Bull S, you know. Because you go to West Texas, then you're in the hub of oil and gas country, not Fort Worth. But bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference where he goes. It's all a photo op for nothing. He could stand beside a gas sign and show how high it's going, and his answer for you is, not that we're going to restart oil and gas production here, but that you need to buy an electric car. You think I'm joking. Well, let me clarify for you. I'm not, because that's exactly the response he gave before he left the White House today, pointing out, I know it's going to be a powerful blow to Putin's war machine by us doing this, but it's also going to hurt at the pump. I said Pelosi said it over the weekend that she was for banning it. This was last Thursday at a press conference. So it took that long for the word finally to get to Biden that Pelosi's on board with doing it. But again, Biden refuses to loosen any restrictions on producing domestic energy. He said loosening environmental regulations are pulling back clean energy investment will not lower energy prices for families. Well, he wouldn't do it right now. Of course we understand that. But then he goes on to say, but transforming our economy to run on electric vehicles powered by clean energy with tax credits to help American families, that will help. No, it won't. That won't help right away either. In time, it might. But again, he just cannot stand up against oil and gas without making sure he plays the other side of the fence also with the progressives on the side who want all the clean energy, including California Governor Jerry Brown coming out of nowhere again to say, look, we need to keep restricting fossil fuel production. We can't do that. And in office, his last 2 years of terms in office, he made a habit of flying around the world to address climate change. Who's that sound like? Oh, John Kerry. That's right. Someone else who flies around the world in his private jet telling you need to cut your emissions by driving your car. Americans now experiencing the highest gas prices since the 2008 financial crisis. The average national gas price is more than $4 a gallon. You can find it less than $4 in some areas. You can find it closer to $6 or more in others. In fact, Senator Marco Rubio said American energy could compensate for Joe Biden's largely symbolic ban of Russian energy exports. He said we can produce more than enough. To make up whatever it is we buy from Russia. He said the only explanation is this group of zealots on this Green New Deal stuff. So now we have to, as he said, go to Saudi Arabia and beg for oil. Ask a narco-terrorist regime, he's talking about Venezuela, for oil. And do an Iran deal with the largest state sponsor of terrorism. Yeah, Saski confirmed to reporters yesterday the Biden administration is negotiating a boost to Venezuela's oil production. But, of course, at the same time, she made a point to say all these gas prices you're seeing going up have nothing to do with us trying to curtail your energy use. You can put all of the blame upon the turmoil in Ukraine.
It sounds like you guys are blaming Putin for the increase in gas prices recently, but weren't gas prices going up anyway because of post-pandemic supply chain issues?
Well, I think there's no question that, as we have seen, and outside analysts have conveyed this as well, the increase and the anticipated continued increase, which is, I think, what some of your colleagues were asking about, that that is a direct result of the invasion of Ukraine. And also there was an anticipation of that that was factored in as gas prices have gone up.
You'd have to be a fool to believe that gas prices weren't going to go up with Ukraine, but they were already going up because we are no longer energy independent as we were under Trump. They've been going up before Ukraine. The suspension of new drilling on federal lands, killing incentives in the capital and labor-intensive industry for operations to keep up with demand, suppressing production, cancellation of the XL pipeline, that supposedly immediately cut 830,000 barrels of Canadian crude flowing to Gulf refineries. But as soon as he signed that deal, he turns right around, Biden did, and doubled importing Russian oil and signed off on Europe and Germany, that is, to receive Nord Stream 2. The response from Moscow is, if you continue to do this, if you think you're going to freeze us out like that, I've got news for you. What we will do is we will turn around and we will shut down natural gas to the rest of Europe. We're going to make them pay. Well, in response to that, one of the CEOs with a gas energy company said, we could step up and help supply that need. We could do it. He said, if you would lift U.S. regulations on liquefied natural gas exports, we could do it. We could help wean Europe off of Russian energy if you would allow us to export more liquefied natural gas. He said, Europe depends on Russia for about 40% of its natural gas. That's from pipelines that go back to the Soviet Union era. He said, right now the world is short on oil, the world is short on gas. We got plenty, but we got to start bringing it out of the ground and using it. One other point along that line. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Republican, urged Biden to reopen the Keystone Pipeline. As she said, and I'm quoting, "We don't live on this planet by ourselves, Mr. President. You have Russia, you have China, you have North Korea, you have all of them. So you must call on people who will make demands of you to understand whether America is all ready for all comers. So we need to find out, why won't you reopen the Keystone Pipeline? Why won't you stop? As a matter of fact, we are importing energy from Russia. Why are we doing that? We have means to produce it here." Well, today he did answer in part, saying we're not going to buy more oil from Russia. But that doesn't take care of the issue, does it? She added, I'll remind you again, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, a black woman, ran as a Republican and wins in Virginia. She said we were free from depending on outside countries for our energy. And as soon as Biden came into office, he killed the Keystone Pipeline, killed all those jobs, and all the other jobs that went with it. So we can be energy independent. It depends on this president. Instead, he's telling other countries like Saudi Arabia to release more oil, more barrels. Really, why don't you take care of what you have command of, Mr. President? I'd have to tell the Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears that's because Biden doesn't know what to do until he's told. But he made a point today to say that we are shipping more supply. We're helping Ukraine. We're moving forward.
Thus far, we've provided more than $1 billion in security assistance to Ukraine. Shipments of defensive weapons are arriving in Ukraine every day from the United States. And we, the United States, are the ones coordinating the delivery of our allies and partners of similar weapons, from Germany to Finland to the Netherlands. We're working that out. We're also providing humanitarian support for the Ukrainian people, both those still in Ukraine and those who have fled safely to a neighboring country. We're working with humanitarian organizations to surge tens of thousands of tons of food, water, and medical supplies into Ukraine, and with more on the way.
That all sounds great, but riddle me this. Why did you not do all of that before Russia invaded? Especially when it comes to sending them arms and munitions. You do it now, Putin will declare that you were trying to help Ukraine defeat him. If you'd put it in earlier, hey, they have it, they use it the way they choose to. And when it comes to those who are trying to escape with their lives, and not much more than that, United Nations estimating more than 2 million have fled Ukraine since the start of the Russian invasion. Premier Zelensky says, I'm staying. You can find me. I'm right here at the Capitol. He's not hiding. I have to praise the man. He's doing a real patriot to his country. He's not running and hiding and taking their money, which many leaders do. Coming up, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but again, the question still remains. Ukraine needs more jets. We didn't send any in before all this started, so now Poland is thinking about shipping them some jets, and then we will backstop Poland. Let's pick up that story again when we continue.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What more can the United States do here if, for instance, the Polish government, a NATO member, wants to send fighter jets? Does that get a green light from the U.S., or are you afraid that that will escalate tension?
No, that gets a green light. In fact, we're talking with our Polish friends right now about what we might be able to do to backfill their needs if, in fact, they choose to provide these fighter jets to the Ukrainians. What can we do? How can we help to make sure that they get something to backfill the planes that they're handing over to the Ukrainians?
That is Secretary of State Blinken over the weekend and saying that, look, if Poland wants to give their MiGs to Poland, to Ukraine, they have 31 of them, then we will give them some American F-16 fighters to back up their need. That was Sunday. Yesterday, late, the Pentagon began to downplay the idea of that three-way deal. That's not good news for Ukraine because they were really counting on getting those MiGs. The White House press secretary insists, we're not opposing such a deal, but there are significant logistical challenges about sending F-16s to Poland, then replacing them in the U.S. Saturday, the Polish government claimed it had or would provide the MiGs to Ukraine. But then also, the government turned around and said, if you hear that, that's fake news. It's understandable there's a lot of confusion over there. But then the no-fly zone, now here's the deal. If we sent the planes directly to Ukraine right now, Putin would take that as joining the war and fighting against the Russians, which is going to lead to our next guest, because saber rattling is one thing, but when you start rattling nukes, that's a different story. So I'm looking at a piece now from Politico talking about another option. Now, of course, again, if we had sent some planes into Ukraine and they had them when the Russians came in, well, so be it. But we didn't do that. We would not plan ahead. The Biden administration has been behind the curve all down the road and continues to be. But there's a report being led by a co-founder, pardon me, of the U.S.-Ukraine Foundation on at least providing a no-fly zone. Now, prior to this time, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, had said that if we as the U.S. enforce a no-fly zone, that could lead to World War III. NATO, American pilots, would first have to destroy Russian air defense. To enforce a no-fly zone, you're going to shoot down Russian planes that violate it. Putin had said Saturday, any nation declaring a no-fly zone will be again considered participants of the military conflict. But there's a new letter, and the signatories are offering something different. A limited no-fly zone over Ukraine, dealing with just the humanitarian corridors, which have been attacked repeatedly by planes, artillery, missiles, that you fly just protection over those corridors where Ukrainians are trying to leave. No pun intended, but I don't know if that's going to fly either. A no-fly zone would certainly take a lot of the threat out of the sky over Ukraine. I wouldn't hold my breath. And it is critical for those in Ukraine to get something like that. But for them, it's not a matter of holding their breath. It's a matter of holding on to life itself. Coming up, I'm going to have a policy analyst for nuclear deterrence and missile defense with the Heritage Foundation. How should we deal with Russia's nuclear capabilities? She knows a lot about those issues. You want to hear what she has to say when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is an expert when it comes to understanding nuke capability for the U.S. and Russia. Patty Jane Geller. Or Geller, I apologize. Patty Jane Geller, I apologize, Patty Jane. I got that wrong. Glad to have you on board.
That's all right. I'm thankful to be on your show.
This is part of a piece that Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal did with you. He asked some questions. I'm going to follow some of those, but I want to add some additional. Geller has written extensively on Russia's nuclear capabilities, also worked on the staff of the Senate Armed Services Committees. Let me get to the first question right away, and that is, do you think Putin would use nuclear weapons?
I think that the chances aren't super high right now, but they're not zero either, and we need to take that threat seriously. Americans tend to believe that nuclear war and nuclear threats are a relic of the past, but Putin doesn't see that to be so. Russia actually incorporates the use of nuclear weapons into its warfighting doctrine. you know, we're seeing a conflict in Ukraine play out now, but Russia has been conducting exercises and training with nuclear weapons now for years. Russia also maintains a stockpile of thousands of what we call tactical or battlefield nuclear weapons that it would be able to employ in Europe on or
so-called
Ukraine during this conflict.
Suitcase-type bombs, right, that could kill maybe 100,000 that may weigh you about 100-plus pounds. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. Yeah, we're talking about suitcase bombs, nuclear weapons on artillery, on short-range rockets, all of those things that the United States got rid of many years ago. They're lower in yield. They're not a big, large strategic weapon. But launching one of these things at a populated area would still cause thousands and thousands of deaths.
Yeah, I think that's been always the issue. I mean, it's not a matter of having it, but the ability to deliver it. And if you can pack one on the back of a mule, you can use a mule to get it there. It wouldn't make that much difference, would it?
Right, exactly. And we know Russia is already able to move forces into Ukraine. We haven't seen evidence yet of them moving to load any nuclear weapons up. But the chance is not zero. We're already seeing as Putin fails to meet his objectives in Ukraine to seize Ukrainian cities and topple the government, he's been resorting to more destructive weapons. We're hearing that Putin is bombing civilian centers, indiscriminately killing because his objectives are failing. And the concern is he'll decide that dropping a nuclear weapon might be the only way to compel Ukraine to surrender or to get the West to stop helping Ukraine.
The latest official intel being released, U.S. intel, is that in the coming weeks it's going to get uglier. Does that mean, in your view, that kind of activity or just indiscriminately killing civilians?
You know, I hope it doesn't mean nuclear weapons, but that is a possibility that it can escalate up to that point.
All right, let's see. I'm sorry. Let me apprise quickly where we actually stand, the U.S. against Russia, not NATO countries in general or even Israel, but U.S. and Russia. Back in, I want to say, in the 70s, I was in college and debate course. You had to argue both sides of the debate, and one of the issues was should we get rid of nuclear weapons because we had overkill. We could kill the world something off the top of my head 500 times over. How much do you need to have to continue building more nuclear weapons? You kill the world once over, why 500 times? Where do we stand now in that balance?
Yeah, that's absolutely not the case anymore. The U.S. and unfortunately also Russia have reduced their nuclear weapons stockpile since the Cold War. And now we're left to the point where we have just the bare minimum that is necessary to deter the nuclear threats of today. We don't have leftover nuclear weapons to, you know, destroy the world a bunch of times over. We're at the bare minimum of what we need to deter Russia. And the problem is, our nuclear posture as it stands right now was designed over a decade ago. And since the last decade, obviously we're seeing Russia being more aggressive, but China has risen too. And now China is a formidable nuclear threat comparable to Russia. And the United States has not made any posture adjustments to date to account for this increase in nuclear threat. That's something we need to do.
So we've been concerned about North Korea and some of its testing that they could get an intercontinental ballistic missile capability to strike into the heartland of the U.S. What capabilities does Russia, not even mentioning China right now, of striking U.S. territory?
Yeah, Russia has hundreds of nuclear missiles armed with over 1,000 nuclear warheads that can strike the United States. You know, that being said, the United States has similar capabilities to strike the Russian territory. But a couple things to note here is that Russia has been modernizing, upgrading its nuclear forces to build new 21st century technology weapons.
Yeah.
However, the United States is still relying on our same nuclear forces, our same missiles and bombers that we built during the Cold War. They're as old as 1960.
I'm glad
now we're kind of scrambling to fix that.
I'm glad you brought that out. You're listening to Patty Wayne Geller, she's with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on nuclear deterrence. Now, I want to get to the deterrent issue in a moment, but I see that Secretary of State Pentagon Press Secretary Kirby is saying the budget just submitted by Biden will, while it might not give us perfect visibility in Putin's military planning, that it is going to make us better prepared. Do you think so?
I sure hope so. When it comes to the nuclear forces, there have been reports that the Biden administration was considering canceling a couple of programs that would develop advanced nuclear capabilities that the United States needs to deter Russia and China. I can be nothing but hopeful that after now that we see what Russia is doing in Ukraine, he's making nuclear threats, that Biden will reverse course and make sure that we're fully funding all of the necessary nuclear modernization and capability programs to ensure we can deter a Russian or Chinese nuclear attack.
Part of the issue that also comes up is, if they fire them, can we shoot them out of the sky before they hit their intended target?
No. So if we're talking about missile defense of the U.S. homeland, we cannot defend against the Russian or Chinese nuclear threats. We have a very limited missile defense system designed to only be able to defend against small threats coming from states like North Korea. It rather has been a policy of the U.S. to rely on deterrence alone to try and prevent Russia or China from launching nuclear missiles at the United States.
And when you say deterrence, just realize that if you fired us, we'll fire back. But the red line is kind of vague if you don't really have the capability. Many will recall the Star Wars approach to weaponry years ago. Where does that stand?
Star Wars is a relic of the past. That plan was to be able to strike down any missile headed towards the United States. And, you know, since that was proposed in 1982, our missile defense plans have become smaller and smaller. And like I said, we only have now 44 interceptors in the United States, which surely couldn't defend against Russia's hundreds of missiles. They're meant for small North Korean threats only. And now that we're facing not only Russia, but China as a formidable nuclear peer, this policy that we've had is something certainly worth reconsidering in order to ensure protection of our homeland.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, could you open the door I was going to open anyway, and that is China. How does the U.S. stack up against China?
The United States has always had nuclear superiority over China, which has maintained a very small nuclear arsenal. But even in the last few years, that has changed. China has pursued the largest nuclear buildup in its history, and it doesn't have the same number of nuclear weapons as the United States does yet, but it's certainly headed there. And just earlier this morning, one of our top admirals in charge of our nuclear weapons was explaining that today we are facing China and Russia as formidable nuclear threats to the U.S., and that's going to require making immediate changes to our nuclear posture to be able to confront those two threats.
Immediate changes in what way? Is in the next 20 seconds, can you explain?
Yeah, we might need more nuclear weapons. We might need different kinds of missiles. We might need to put our
I don't hear anything immediate. I don't hear anything.
Ready alert.
I'm sorry, I don't hear anything immediate there.
Yeah, it's we're not in a great place where we have the ability to do things immediately. The thing we could do the soonest is upload more nuclear warheads to
all
our
right.
forces, and that's something that I hope our administration will consider.
Excellent answers, questions. I mean your responses. I appreciate it. Pally Jane Geller, policy analyst for nuclear deterrence with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is great.
Stand by, Senator Graham.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
Run with the railroad when their backs are turned. Run with the railroad. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So today, Ukrainian President Zelensky, in a speech to the United Kingdom Parliament, said, "We will not give up, we will not lose." And he got a standing ovation from UK lawmakers. Putin has sent death squads trying to take out Zelensky. They have failed, but I'm sure many more are coming. And he's made it clear, I'm going to be here at the Capitol. You'll know where to find me. I'm right here at the Capitol. Well, I hope they have good bunkers inside the Capitol, because they may not try to come in with guns blazing, but rather launch a missile or strike into the Capitol. Now, the other day, Senator Lindsey Graham made a remark saying that, in his opinion, the only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out. You would be doing your country, the world, a great service. The only people who can fix this are Russians. Immediately, there was pushback. And I got to tell you, that was in a tweet. And I got to tell you, here's where I have differed with some, even Republicans, even conservatives like Senator Ted Cruz. He said Lindsey Graham's remarks were, quote, an exceptionally bad idea. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said the tweet was, quote, irresponsible, dangerous, unhinged. And, of course, here comes Minnesota Congresswoman Omar, Democrat, facing criticism over comments about the destruction of Israel, tweeting, seriously, what TF? And on Friday, Saskia dismissed Graham's idea out of hand. So he got interviewed yesterday. And the interviewer is saying, you've been courageous in calling out Putin when many people want to say it but haven't said it. Have you been surprised by the feedback? That question is exactly how I responded to a listener who had written me on Facebook when it was operating. Right now, Facebook, everything's been shut down by the big tech companies. I'll try to get it back for you, but they don't like something I said. They're not going to like this either, so this may continue. But I did say, in response to the question from a listener the other day, a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Get to Putin, take him out, and maybe the other generals would decide, let's cease and desist, because they're having mass demonstrations inside Moscow and around Russia, thousands upon thousands, many mothers being picked up by police, thrown into prisons, maybe never to be seen from again. Well, Senator Graham, when asked what kind of feedback, he said, yeah, I think most Americans understand Putin is a war criminal. The sooner he's gone, the better. The only way this ends in a sustainable fashion is for the Russian people to take him out. I'm not asking for American boots on the ground, but I want to help Ukraine with military assistance and equipment. Putin's got away with murder for 20 years. Enough is enough. He's got to go. The questioner said, so you stand by what you said? Senator Graham, 100%, he answered. And I told you about how both Trump and Obama were involved in assassinating leaders of either al-Qaeda, even on foreign soil. And Obama had a kill list of al-Qaeda leaders he would take out. And also raised the question, and I think it's worth doing once again, because it's, how do you end this with less deaths? Oh, a nuclear bomb? Like we ended China, the World War II? Or maybe we back up to assassinate Adolf Hitler and then the Japanese emperor. You know, there were six assassination attempts on Hitler. Six. They began in 1921. They began 20 years before he actually got control. But if he'd been assassinated in any of those that involved everything from a plot to an actual, just a beer hall bar fight, if he'd been assassinated in any of those, then maybe the rest of history would have been rewritten. But the most famous is to July 1944, Operation Valkyrie, where they were going to kill him at one of his protected areas, supposedly. And, of course, later made into a movie, book, and everything else, but they were involving members of his inner circle, military and civilians, all involved to kill him. They thought if we can kill him, we can put an end to all of this and restore our country. It failed only because the bomb that was in the suitcase or the briefcase got moved inches away from Hitler instead of where it should have been, and he got protected to some extent. Killing Putin, would that stop all of this? Maybe. Someone else might rise up. But are you really going to be that concerned about his death? Are more concerned about children, innocent children being killed, while he continues to be a thug and a killer anyway, and has killed his own people anyway? Something to consider. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.